I just want you to come, and I want us to pray for our country. So when you come, it doesn't matter to me how long you pray, but I think God will reward our efforts. And if he can see a widow give two mites, he sees us. And so I want to encourage you just to come, and the church will be open for prayer for our country. And we will be specific. Praise the Lord. Please open in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to speak this morning entitled, The Ministry of Pain. The Ministry of Pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And also we're going to be looking at Psalms, the 119th chapter, verse 67. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for every aspect of your kingdom, for all of your word. And we ask now that you help me and help us as we look to you, our Savior. Amen. Please turn also to the book of Psalms, that longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. We often talk about the ministry of this person, and we say, oh, they have such a wonderful ministry. But have you ever considered the ministry of pain? Yes, God can use pain as a tool in his hand to accomplish his purposes. He can use the devil. He can use evil. He doesn't author it, but he uses it. He can use the devil to accomplish his will. I just noticed that the word evil, if you add the letter D in front of it, you have devil, and the devil is full of evil. But the ministry of pain, it was Monday morning when I woke up. By now I know that Sundays come around real quick. And I thought, okay. And the Lord spoke to me very sweetly and said, you're going to speak on the ministry of pain. It was very clear to me. I've often said, and I don't want to sound to the point where it's irritating, but the stories in the Bible are so important because from these stories we understand the nature of God and we get our theology. And as I began to consider the stories in the Bible of those that related to pain, I could see from these stories the ministry of pain. The first thing the ministry of pain accomplishes, number one, is pain will bring people together. Normal living doesn't often bring us together We can be so busy and caught up in what we're doing, but pain has a way of bringing us together that normal activities will not. Pain is a greater and stronger glue that will bind us and bond us together where just normal activities will not. Isn't it true that two brothers can grow up in the same household and they can fight and they can just go at each other? And yet if someone that doesn't live within the home picks on one of those brothers, those two brothers forget how they were fighting and now they join together because they have somebody that's picking on their brother. I'm told that by doctors that a bone that is broken, when it properly mends, it often is stronger than it was before it was broken. And likewise, a family that goes through suffering and pain, after it is over, that bonding can be stronger than before the pain came. Just looking at the stories in the Bible, we see that this is so. Job, how his friends came when Job, no doubt, had received pain like no other living at that time. And yet they came to bring comfort. They're called Job's comforters. We give them credit for 7 days. They at least kept quiet and sat with Job as he was in the pile of ashes, scraping his sores. But then finally they ran out of their patience and they began to not be good comforters but irritants to Job. And at the end God showed up and rebuked the miserable comforters and had Job pray for his friends. I believe that the bonding with his friends after it was all over was stronger than before when they came to bring comfort. It says in Job 42:12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." But notice that the comfort from his friends, even from their painful comforting, turned to a greater closeness than they had before. It says in Job 42:11, "Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him." They didn't have that for quite a while, but they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. They didn't bring that earring of gold at first, and they didn't bring that offering at first, but this pain had a way of bringing a greater closeness. There was obviously not much of a closeness between Joseph and his brethren. Early in the story, we see, no doubt, Joseph was born with a different mother than his brothers. And besides Jacob showing favorites to Joseph by giving him a coat of many colors and not the others, this didn't help in the relationship that caused, no doubt, schism in the body and jealousy. No fault that we would lay upon Joseph. But it created a jealousy, and we all know that the pain that Joseph suffered from his brother's jealousy, the pain of rejection, the pain of the lonely years, and the pain of being falsely accused. It's fair to say that there probably at the beginning of the story was no warm, fuzzy feelings that Joseph had for his brothers and vice versa. But through the providence of God, this pain that God allowed to come into Joseph's life, we see the scriptures so often promise us that the end of the thing is better than the beginning. I want to say to everyone here, the end of the thing is better than the beginning. But notice the closeness that was not at the beginning, but when this pain began to develop, Joseph, when God was with Joseph, as things began to come together, Joseph now, later in the story, is much closer to his brothers than before. This was only made possible because of the forgiveness that Joseph extended to them. And those warm words we read after Joseph's brothers had found fault. Now Jacob, their father, had died. And Joseph's brothers thought, well, he's only been nice to us because Dad has been alive. But now that Dad has died, Joseph is going to want to get his vengeance after all. And they were afraid of Joseph. And they fell down before Joseph, and apparently they were questioning Joseph's forgiveness that had been extended earlier, thinking, you've only been kind to us because Dad's been alive, but now that he's dead, and oh, please, Joseph, we be thy servants. But in Genesis 50, verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. And it says that he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And we read that Joseph's brothers were closer to Joseph, and Joseph was closer to his brothers, all because of pain. Yes, this closeness was birthed out of pain. I have two daughters. You have met them. I watched them grow up. We waited 4 years, knowing if they're too close together, it might cause a little bit more of a friction. But it doesn't matter how many years you have, you're going to get friction, I found out. But I've noticed that they were close. But when Kelly had her child, and this child had his physical challenges, I've noticed it's brought a much closerness to my daughters than before because of the pain. And how often children will use a sore or a scar, or they'll have an owie. And kids love to show their owies. Girls don't show owies. They're more into beauty. But men, we count them as crowns and trophies. And in fact, it was last Sunday night, Donnie talked about his father had was working on his house, and he said he almost bled to death. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? So after service, I went to Jim, and I said, Brother Jim, what happened? And he pulled up his pant leg, and he showed me his owie. And men being men, I had to tell him about my owie. You know, we can't be outdone. And there's just something about showing owies. But the Bible says there are different members in the body of Christ. But have you ever noticed that when one part of your body hurts, the hand will reach out to try to soothe it and to comfort it? And this is a picture often of the church. Nothing will quite bring us together like somebody else hurting, and one comes to help and bring comfort to them. And because we're commanded to love one another, wouldn't it be wise to love each other rather than being cold-hearted to each other? When the Lord says, you know what? Often when God sees coldness, he knows how to remedy it. He allows pain sometimes to come. And it softens our heart to whereby now we show comfort and mercy to them. I was just sitting down before the morning service when I heard Debbie talking to her sister Terry. And all I caught was there was pain in the head. And of course, I'm preaching on pain. And I almost got up and got nosy. But I thought, no, that's all I need to know. But God at least use it to confirm. But the ministry of pain, you know, the second thing I want to say, number one, pain will bring us together. But the second thing I have noticed about pain is pain will birth ministries. Zeal is often born from pain. Compassion can be birthed out of pain. And one can be void of compassion. One can be empty of having empathy or compassion for someone else or brother or sister because you've never experienced it. You haven't really gone through it. But how often I have observed someone who has now gone through some things and they've hurt, they can have an appreciation for it. And now, out of that pain they experienced, and the Corinthians says, the comfort we are comforted thereby, we are able to comfort others. And you begin to have compassion because you've gone through something that you had not gone before. It reminds me of the little boy that wanted to buy a dog. He walked into the pet shop. He asked the man, "How much is that little doggy in the window?" He told him the price. He went out and saved his money and came back. And now there are 6 dogs in the window. He picked up one of the dogs and brought it to the counter. And the store owner said, "Why do you want this dog? This dog, don't you see, is crippled." And the little boy looked at the store owner, smiled, reached down to pull up his pant leg. And you could see the boy was crippled and had a deformed leg. And the little boy said, "I think this doggy could use some understanding and some compassion." He understood. Compassion is birthed from pain. Understanding has come forth because of pain. Sensitivity comes forth because of pain. Often where there's been an absence of pain, there's often been an absence of compassion. Often where there's been an absence of understanding, there's been an absence of pain. Paul said, in order to keep me from getting a big head and becoming too proud, God sent some pain into my life, or a thorn in the flesh. It surely wasn't there to comfort him. It was there, and it caused pain. And some of the, how would I say this? Some of the people that are not connected, I'm not going to accuse them. It's no fault of their own. They haven't yet been connecting, and they don't learn how to connect to people. But pain is a great educator. Pain has a way of making you hurt, and now you have compassion for someone else that is going through it, where you have gone through it yourself. Before, you weren't that connected to them, but you sure have compassion on them now. I always remember a minister, Brother Taylor. I thought what he said really captured my attention. He had a young man in his church that was wanting to go into the ministry. Now, this young man that wanted to go into the ministry, it wasn't that he was mean. He just wasn't nice. It wasn't that he was cold-hearted. He just wasn't warm-hearted. He was really, with his makeup, he didn't really connect to people too well. He just was what he was. And I remember Brother Taylor saying, the best thing that can happen to him is for him to be like a pig and get stuck. I thought that was kind of cold, but I understand now what he means. He needs to go through some pain. He needs to go through some hurt, so he can begin to identify with people and have a little bit more compassion when he deals with people, rather than just looking at them with a cold, staring eye. This minister wisely saw the need for that. It's been said God didn't send an angel to preach the gospel. Let's suppose God decided to send an angel to preach and to spread the good news of the kingdom. And let's say the Lord says to the angel, "I want you to preach on fear." And the angel would say, "Well, what's fear? I've never had any fear." And to technically explain it to the angel, he could get up, but I can assure you, it would be like the two elk off in the distance, and they heard a mating call, and I've used this before. But if you've been in the ministry and you know what it is to get stared at, you'll look at me with compassion this morning. And they said one to the other as they heard this hunter blowing a little elk call, supposed to be a mating call, and one elk said to the other, "It technically sounds right, but it lacks passion and emotion." And there's just something about people that have gone through it that have more passion when they minister and you can identify with them. But the angel doesn't know anything about fear. So he says, okay, next Sunday I want you to preach about guilt. And he says, what's that? And so he explains it to him, and he gets up and preaches on it, but it really doesn't connect to the people because it has no feeling or nothing he can identify with. So then he says, okay, I want you to preach about pain. And he's never experienced pain. He says, okay, preach about guilt, and he's never had guilt. And the only one that ever had guilt was Lucifer, and he fell, and you're not going to have the devil give you a good sermon. Okay, then preach about your failures. He says, I've never failed in everything. Everything you ever sent me to do, we accomplished, whether it was defeat the army or to cause Balaam from going off and to prophesying when he shouldn't prophesy. But I think that God sends you people that are like Jesus, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and has gone through things to be able to help you to go through and understand things. So God doesn't send, or let me put it this way, God will send a flawed person, someone who has a familiarity with pain. And the pain that that one goes through, often in proportion to what he goes through, has a great effect upon his ministry to help people. Paul was greatly used, but it was often because of the pain he went through. 2 Corinthians, he teaches this truth. In fact, I would say, from my study in the scriptures, there's no such thing as ministry, effective ministry, without pain. Tell us about your ministry, Paul, that God has given you. Well, he says, as received mercy, we faint not. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul said, you know, we're troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. We're perplexed, that's pain, but not in despair. We're persecuted, that's pain, but not forsaken. We're cast down, that's pain, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death. That's pain, for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then pain or death worketh in us, but life in you. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Light affliction? Let me give you a list of the things that Paul went through that he calls light affliction. 2 Corinthians 7:5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Pain. We were troubled on every side. Pain. Without were fightings. Pain. Within were fears. Pain. Paul was greatly used, but he was so acquainted with pain, both outward pain and inward pain. It was my late friend Dr. Mark Armstrong, who had a man in his church that had more PhDs behind his name than anybody he knew. But he said to Brother Armstrong, the worst kind of pain is the inward pain, the mental pain. Paul, referring to his light affliction, says of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That didn't mean literally 39 stripes. What he's saying was, if they had hit me one more time, I'd have died. 3 I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was suffered shipwreck a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these things that are without, and that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I weak? Who is offended? No, I'm not bitter. I burn not, or I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Have you ever looked at your pain as something that God is using to birth a ministry? He said, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Paul knew pain. And I don't know if he coined it, but no pain, no gain. Number one, pain brings us closer together. Number two, pain produces ministries. It equips you with compassion and understanding. And number three, pain brings you to God, quite like nothing else will. David said in Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, what did you do, Paul or David? I was free and fancy. I went astray. But there's something about affliction that brought me to God. Samson, it was pain that brought this playboy back to God, being blinded, being mocked, and being ridiculed. But it was pain that brought him to God. It was David who said, it was pain that brought me to you, Lord. It was Jonah. It wasn't a cruise ship that picked up Jonah. It was the belly of a whale. We don't have a clue what that was like. I've often imagined that those juices from that whale so bleached his skin that when he hit the shore, he looked like a freak, and no wonder he was successful at having revival. But it was pain nonetheless. It was Jacob who was left alone, and I was left alone, and I wrestled with an angel. And it was the angel putting his thigh out of joint, his hip out of joint, pain that caused him to hold on to God in a greater way. It was pain that caused Paul, the apostle, seeing a great light and being blinded by it and being knocked off his horse, a type of humility that caused him to say, who art thou, Lord? Pain. There's the pain of sin. There's the pain of guilt. I got to listen to Duck Dynasty. Who's the preacher of the group? He's got a beard. And I heard him say how he had witnessed to one of the candidates running for presidency. I enjoyed, and I believed he was telling the truth. He said, I asked him, have you ever sinned? He said, yes. And he pointed to a cross he had written. He said, see that? That man died for your sin. And he said, he said, the gospel has a way of working on a person. So pray for him. Pray that the gospel that was given, people that have had the gospel given to them, sometimes we're waiting, but it has a way of working on that person. And sometimes that working is guilt. Sometimes that working is loneliness. Sometimes that pain is unfulfillment. Sometimes that pain is just life doesn't seem to be satisfying like it was. And then we hear the words of Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He's talking about pain. The ministry of pain that brings people to God. And I want to ask you, are you hurting today? Is God drawing you? Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our pain and all our tribulation. The Bible says that this poor man laughed. No, this poor man cried unto the Lord. He wasn't laughing. He was crying. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. God comforts us in all of our tribulation and all of our trials, that we may be able to take that comfort that we've experienced and now find somebody else hurting. And I know how you feel. And give comfort to them. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, Paul said it's for you. Has that ever dawned on you that sometimes your pain is for somebody else? And God knows what He's doing. Your suffering has a purpose. And know that at the same time, God is a God of comfort, of all comfort. Sometimes your suffering isn't for you, it's for others. And God in His wisdom knows how to use it to bring salvation and consolation for those intended. I want to ask you, anybody experience any pain this past week? Any hurting? Any worrying? Any frustration? Let's stand this morning, please. God wants us to come to Him. There's something about pain that brings me to God, that has a way of causing brokenness to happen within me. Have you ever enjoyed where you just break before the Lord and it's such a cleansing? It's such a pureness that comes. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning that You're the God of all comfort. It would be ridiculous to ask if anyone here is hurting. I believe that all of us hurt. All of us have cares and all of us have griefs. And yet You say, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and You'd give us rest." So Lord Jesus, I pray that we take a look at the pains. Help us to get close one to another. I've often believed that sometimes, Lord, You allow pain to come to members simply to bring us close together. May, Lord, we get close without the pain, if it's possible. Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from Me, if it's possible." Lord, help our families to be close. Help us as a church to be close. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to see the big picture. Help us to break before You. For a broken and a contrite spirit, You will not despise. Could I ask you to come and let's just stand before the Lord this morning? Would you come? Brother Artin, I have a word for you. I see a family member bringing you good news. A family member. You're going to hear good news from a family member. And Becky, not the one you mentioned, but I see a daughter bringing you good news. Tell me about it when it happens. Let's just look to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to You, Lord. Oh God, help us to understand Your ways. Help us to bring our hurts to You, our concerns. Oh Lord Jesus, would You lean over and pray for the person next to you? I can guarantee you they have concerns. And would you, with the comfort God has comforted you, would you now extend it and pass it on to them and pray for them and pray one for another? Oh, Lord Jesus, we do pray one for another. Lord, we understand what it is to hurt. We understand, Lord, what it is to have family problems and to have financial problems and to have health problems and to have worries and fears and stress. And Lord, just the heaviness that comes. And oh, Jesus, you're the God of all comfort. Minister, Lord, I pray, because surely there are hurting people. There are so many hurting people. So many hurting people. Help us, Lord, and raise up ministries that are born out of pain. May we recognize the pain that has come into our life, that God is wanting to birth a ministry, and God is wanting to use it, and God is wanting to rise up within us, oh Lord, a compassion that goes across and finds the one that has been wounded and bleeding and laying on the side of the road. Oh God, use us. Open our eyes, for the fields are wide unto harvest because they're hurting. There are sheep without a shepherd. Oh God, any minister that doesn't feel the pain, Lord, needs to go back to the woodshed to know what it is to hurt and to feel and to love, oh God, a love that feels. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here say, I know you preached on it, but I have a need and I'm hurting and I need God's help. Would you lift it up? Some of you reach over and pray for Sister Watson, would you, this morning? I know she has her concerns. Anybody else want prayer this morning? You're just hurting. Brother Henry, someone go over and pray with Brother Henry. Let's pray one for another. Father, we pray for these two. Oh God, help us, Lord, not to be the people that are not cold-hearted, but neither are we warm-hearted. Help us, Lord, not to be just cold but not hot. Oh God, move in us, we pray. Hallelujah. Touch Brother Henry and touch Sister Watson. Help us to feel one for another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it not be said, no man cared for my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Sherry, I've been praying for your sister. Thank you.